Where did y'all first hear of Miss Conrad's story? Was it something?
I'll need to answer. We set up a program at the Doppler's Go Center back in the late 90s to study and do research on the American spiritual music. And we have an endowment to support that work. One of the things that we first got involved with was because Barbara Conrad is an expert on what's called a Negro spiritual. And she, being a UT grad and sort of an ambassador for the university in these kinds of matters, we linked up with Barbara to work with her and so that we could develop our spirituals program, the study of American spirituals. Well, in that work, I got to know Barbara and really got to know more about her story. I knew something about her story, but the more I got to know about her, the more I realized there was a compelling historical story there that needed to be preserved and disseminated. And so it's been a 10-year labor of love trying when we first conceived of doing the film. And I thought, well, this would be one. She wanted to do audio recordings, which we'll probably do at some point. But the story itself needed to be told in a video documentary. And that's how we started on this whole trail that we wound up with now. But it really goes back to the beginning of the spirituals program at the Briscoe Center.
And Matt, how were you brought in then?
Well, Don and the Briscoe Center started talking to me in the beginning of 2007 about possibly bringing this film to life. And I went out to East Texas and met Barbara for the first time in a little town called Gilmer where she was staying. She was doing a master's class out there. And after a meeting and a good conversation that went well, I interviewed her and filmed some footage of her performing and teaching and going back to Centerpoint, the community that she grew up in when she was young. And with that footage, worked with the Briscoe Center on putting together a trailer for the film, kind of a theoretical, maybe this is how the story could be told. And then we were off and running.
And what year was that? When did filming actually begin?
2007.
And so the whole kind of legislative resolution that comes in the film, did you even know something like that was in the works or was coming at all? Or
at the beginning, we had no idea where the story would go. You know, how that ending would come about. And of course, we're thrilled that it did, and that happened in February 2009.
It's kind of ironic as a historian, I have to tell you. We started this film as a historical project to document history and teach people about history. But the film itself made history, which is kind of an unusual thing. Because, frankly, when we started out in 2007, we had no clue that we'd be able to have the state legislature bring her back and apologize to her, in essence. But as Matt got going with this film and things started developing and people started seeing the trailer, within members of the legislature went, whoa, you know, this is we did a bad thing. Our predecessors did a bad thing here. We want to make up. So in the middle of making this film, the legislature decided to have her there and have a House resolution and Senate resolution passed. So it's an interesting thing in that we started documenting history, but we actually caused history to happen, which made the film really a different kind of film in the final analysis.
Dr. Carlton, when you were going through all these documents and researching the history behind this incident in 1957, what was it like to go back and look at the University of Texas at that time? And I imagine it must have been so odd to see what was basically a radically different school at that time, in terms of, you know, the interaction between, UT had allowed African-American students to come to the school, but yet to see something like this happen and go, boy, this is a totally different environment than it is today.
Well, I'm old enough. I'm a native Texan. Grew up in Dallas and North Texas, too. And I'm old enough to have lived through the bad days of Jim Crow racism and official segregation, you know, colored water fountains, all that crap. All right. And so I wasn't at all surprised. And as a historian, of course, I wasn't surprised either because that's what I do, you know. But I also knew there'd be a whole generation of our students not to mention earlier generations of students, they had no clue that this kind of thing was going on. So while I wasn't surprised, I was a little surprised as we got going how many people really didn't understand the hardships and the travails that our African-American students who first entered the university went through. That was kind of unknown to most of the people at the university. So this is one of the reasons. There are many reasons why we've done this film, but that's one of them, is to teach our students that, you know, what happened before they came here and the sacrifices that were made.
And the film is serving as kind of a historical overview for students, as you said. But even beyond the university, I imagine that you hope that this film will be shown outside to audiences elsewhere.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the missions of the Briscoe Center is to facilitate and support research and teaching, but also to do public education. And when we say public education, we're talking about for the citizens of Texas. But beyond that, this is an American history story. It's not just a Texas history story. And we're looking forward to wide dissemination of this film so that we can continue to teach people history that they need to know.
Matt, how is it working with Barbara? And please describe her personality.
It's not easy to distill into just a few adjectives. Barbara is she's amazing. Barbara, when I first met her, I met her with my children in the room and with my wife, and I knew that Barbara was very family-oriented, and I am too, and so I thought that it would be good to kind of introduce her to my whole family so she could get a better sense of who I was and feel a certain kind of trust. And, I'd heard all these things about this opera world and how these people can be sort of diva-ish in their behavior. But, my three-year-old started melting down and in front of everybody and crying and everything, but Barbara just wanted to pick him up and play with him, and she was very friendly. So I found her to be very warm, very trusting, and very great to work with. I didn't really have at the very beginning, there was a little bit of work I felt like I had to do to establish that trust with her. And over the course of the film, I felt her trust in me growing. I interviewed her a total of three times in the process of making the film. And by the final interview, we were like old friends.
You had a sold-out premiere here at South by Southwest. Were you expecting 1,200 people to fill the Paramount and then some to be turned away?
I didn't know what I was expecting, really. I was, of course, hoping that we would at least fill the Paramount to half of its capacity. It seats about 1,200 people, and I thought, we could easily get 600 people in there. But when we drove up, in the car, Don and I were with Barbara, and when we saw all those people standing out front, and I just sort of looked over at Barbara, and she was just really excited to see that many people turn out. And so to go into that venue where more than 50 years ago, African Americans weren't even necessarily allowed to go see films with Barbara was an amazing moment. And then to be there on that stage so close to the Capitol, the Texas legislature, where the events of this story started back in 1956, it was just the perfect place to premiere the film.
Matt, Dr. Carlton, thank you very, very much for your time. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.